The Wedding Tour. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Song of Solomon 7, verses 11 through 12. A scriptural honeymoon followed that marriage. The wedding tour suggested by Solomon's bride was far different from those of modern times. She did not care to make a long, expensive trip to see the sights and visit places of art and amusement. She had ceased to live for herself, but is now interested in him alone. Now she is delighted with the privilege of accompanying him to the plains and fertile fields of his vast domain, for the profit of his subjects and for the honor of her lover. His domain was her domain. Was she not the queen? Of course her queenly breast heaved with yearnings over the people for her bridegroom's sake. His subjects were her subjects in fellowship with him. Should she not look after them? There will I give thee my loves. There in the midst of profitable and praiseworthy activities will I bestow upon thee my fervent affections. I am no doll, neither do I desire to be dandled in ease and luxury. So it will be with the bride of the Lamb. While on earth she ceased to live for herself, she learned the unchanging delight of living for the welfare of other people by the strength of her absent Lord, which she appropriated daily through faith. Finally, she wins him as her bridegroom. The wedding feast of a year's duration and their glorious honeymoon being over, she will be eager to return with her victorious Lord in great power and glory to the same fields of former action. The bride will have an immortal body, fashioned like unto the body of his glory. Philippians 3:21, Revised Version. Leaning upon the almighty arm of her beloved, she will share personally and richly with him in all his worldwide interests and conquests. Therefore, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies of heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 14. The principal cohort in the armies of heaven will be the bride of the Lamb arrayed in fine linen, pure and bright. Revised Version. John saw this same cohort in his earlier visions, not yet as the bride, but simply as full overcomers. For example, the four living ones and 24 elders worshiping. Revelation 4, 5. Several of them giving orders, Revelation 6, and the seven trumpet angels of Revelation 8. By their activities in heaven, so intimately associated with the king in programming the happenings of the few years preceding the wedding, they will manifest their worthiness for the bridehood. What a highly honored place some saints will have together with Jesus in heaven during those years of darkness and gloom on earth, in which he will begin to put down all rule and authority and power, 1 Corinthians 15:24, that he may reign in peace and righteousness. The saints will be joined with Christ in judging the world. To him be high and eternal praise. The vineyard and vine in the Song of Solomon refer especially to Israel, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. Isaiah 5, verse 7. The Apostle Paul, who doubtless will be in the bridehood, being indeed a pattern bridal saint, maintained the deepest yearning for them. He exclaimed, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. He never lost that desire. That same love, unhindered by a perishable frame, will fill the heavenly bride as well as her bridegroom. Hence, he shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11, verse 12. Christ will be glorified in his holy ones and admired in all them that believe on him in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. There will I give thee my loves. will have its wonderful fulfillment also in the antitype. The bridal saints will love their glorious Lord in glorified bodies. The groaning to be delivered will have passed forever. Their love for the heavenly bridegroom will flow forth like a warm ocean current, unceasing, unhindered, and unchanging. With most people, love wanes after they are married a while. They appear common to each other. Matrimony in the Lord is sure to grow deeper and sweeter. How much more will the hallelujah union of Christ and His choice one be? Even now we have sweet, tender, deep, melting communion with Jesus. Our heart is enraptured with His love. Tongue cannot express the throbbings of joy and ecstatic bliss. Sometimes it finds an outlet in cries bathed in glad tears. Other times we are silent with unutterable delight. If it is so wonderful now, what will it be when we are with Him and like Him yonder? How much more will we pour out our heart and soul in unending devotion then? If we enjoy the Lord so deeply here amidst trials and tempests, in bodies of humiliation, tantalized by Satan and mocked by men, if the full overcomers before the wedding will cease not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come," how gloriously and vehemently and effusively will we not behave ourselves after being joined to the Lord in glory? I think Ezekiel paints our decorum, burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps going up and down and running and returning like flashes of lightning, and the noise of the wings as great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. The wings will shout as the noise of a host. Ezekiel 1 verses 13 and 14 and 24. Surely the saints will extol the bridegroom then. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and at our doors are all manner of precious fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Song of Solomon 7, verse 13, Revised Version. The mandrakes, or love apples, remind us of Rachel's deep desire to glorify her husband Jacob by bearing him a son. The mutual love and fellowship between Jesus Christ and his redeemed darling will never want. The fragrance of the bride's love apples for her Lord will pervade the heavens with its pure sweetness. At the supper prepared for Jesus in Bethany, Mary anointed his feet with a pound of very costly ointment, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. John 12. That is a faint picture of the profuse and capturing aroma of the bride's mandrakes in glory. Furthermore, it is quite customary for a young woman who is contemplating marriage to dry some apples and peaches, to can some strawberries and currants, and make jellies and preserves. Perhaps she says nothing about them to her lover until after the wedding. She may surprise him by saying, "These I have laid up for you." While on earth, Jesus seemed to be surprised at the faith of some. He said of one, "I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel." Matthew 8:10. He appeared to be amazed at the liberality of the poor widow who gave into the treasury all she had, even all her living. Mark 12:44. He sat over against the treasury and gazed upon her, though she possessed only two mites. Will he be happily surprised in that coming day of glory at the love laid up in the upper shelves of some hearts? Will he then find some results of the toil and tears of the bride of which she is now silent? Will she be able to point with loving pride to old fruit, some of Israel saved at the beginning of this age because she prayed for the peace of Jerusalem? Psalm 122, verse 6. Will she have some new fruit, some Jews or Gentiles saved near the end of this age with which to rejoice her bridegroom? Such a prospect should not seem strange to us. Be it remembered that as a man, Christ does not know every detail of the future. It is written that the Son, as a servant, does not know the day nor the hour of the darkening of the sun and the moon, etc. Mark 13, verse 32. Let us, then, press on, gather largely, and lay up abundantly for the eternal comfort and nourishment of our heavenly bridegroom. Jesus saw the fig tree leafing out and was surprised that it had no fruit upon its branches, for fig trees bear fruit before they produce leaves. The Jews were covered with religious leaves. They had the profession and forms of piety, but they bore no fruit of faith in and obedience toward God. Therefore Jesus marveled at them. Some saints seem slow to see and speak. Outwardly they do not bear much promise. Apparently they may not be laying up much for the Lord. Maybe they are very poor financially or in natural gifts. Wait, the Holy Spirit knows their hearts, their purpose, their inward loyalty, their loving surrender, their blooming hope. If they do not surprise the bridegroom with their fruits, new and old, they will, however, astonish some of their fellows in that day. Who would have supposed that Jael had the wisdom and courage to give the final blow to Sisera? Judges 4:27. Onward, upward, homeward. Onward, upward, homeward, joyfully I flee from this world of ruin that holds not for me. Onward to the glory, upward to the prize, homeward to the mansions builded in the skies. Onward, upward, homeward, here is not my rest, for I tread the desert which my Lord has pressed. Onward to the banquet, upward to fame's hall, homeward to the city which shall never fall. Onward, upward, homeward, it is one glad race. Boundless joy awaits me when I see his face. Onward to the wedding, upward to the throne, homeward to the bridegroom, he my very own. Mary M. Bodie.